It's a great breath pattern for two reasons. One, the exhale is longer than the inhale, which means that that activates the parasympathetic, the rest and digest, or the stay and play circuitry. And one of the reasons it does that is when you are exhaling, your lungs empty, your heart actually expands, which means your blood pressure drops, the same way that a roaring rapid of a river becomes a very calm flat water when the banks widen. And when your blood pressure goes down, that signals relaxation. So if people are into sort of the quantified life and biohacking, they might be familiar with something called heart rate variability, HRV.
What's that?
That measures, it's not your pulse, it's not beats per minute, but it's the differential between your heartbeat rhythms on inhales and exhales. And the higher it is, the bigger the difference, the better outcomes people have for all sorts of health-related outcomes. It's a key marker for emotional health and cardiovascular health, immune system function, because it's a measure of the resilience, the moment-to-moment resilience of the cardiorespiratory system. So long exhales will relax you. If you're tired and you have to get your energy up, you'd reverse it. I can feel tingling even just from those three. The other thing I love about 478 is that it's so weird, that it's not something you can do. Like I can do four in, four out. I can do that as a meditative pattern. And after 5 seconds, I can do it without thinking. And then I'm thinking about the paper I have to write, or the shopping I have to do, or who's going to be the next James Bond. But if I'm doing 4-7-8, it forces me to pay a little bit more attention.
I just wanted to touch on the topic of imposter syndrome. A lot of people suffer from bouts or moments of imposter syndrome. And I know I hear from my clients sometimes that I don't sound like a native speaker, so I must not belong here. Or they won't speak up in a meeting because even when they try to use new vocabulary or phrasal verbs or idioms, they just feel like they're not being themselves. So I think it's important to realize that through mindfulness, one of the things that it teaches us, and I think the Buddha taught this a lot, that everything is temporary. We should look at the impermanence of things, right? That your thoughts, whatever your thoughts are, they're not necessarily facts. And your skills or your abilities, they're not fixed. They are malleable. They can be changed. Your English is not frozen in time. And every moment is a chance to improve, to reframe, and grow. I would encourage people to practice this and just try to step into your power.
Imposter syndrome is interesting because, as you say, people can have it who are clearly at the top of their game, but it can have very, very deep roots because it's essentially an issue of worthiness. And high performers, a lot of them are driven by the belief that in order to receive resources, you know, think about being the youngest child in a family or parents who are stressed out. And you know, you're a little kid, you know, like, I don't do anything for them. I'm not helping in any way. I'm just a burden. I better perform in order to get resources, to get love, to get attention, to get care, to get food, to get medical care, to get a roof over my head. And depending on what kind of environment you grew up in, you will learn to perform in a certain way. I learned to be very clever, to make jokes, to be funny. Other people learned to be great athletes, like, oh, dad will really appreciate it if I run fast or jump or throw the ball. So imposter syndrome is really a legacy of I must continue to outperform who I was because that's the only strategy I have for getting love, approval, belonging, the resources I need to keep me alive. As long as you think that it's your performance that's keeping you safe, you are prone to imposter syndrome. It's when you become mindful and step into yourself and say, all human beings are intrinsically and equally worthy, equally valued. Some of us get paid more than others. Some of us have corner offices and others work in cubicles, but that has nothing to do with worth.
Clients sometimes ask me when we talk about mindfulness in sessions, yeah, but I'm at work all day. And often when I have a coaching session with you online, I have to find some free room at the office and I feel distracted by people around me. So I think the 4-7-8 technique, you could do it with people walking by. So you could still have your eyes open and practice that. And the other thing you could do is also just take 60 seconds before a call to focus on your breath and maybe just her feet, just to be grounded on the floor. Another thing you could do is what we call a body scan. You start from your toes and scan up your body and just be aware of different parts of your body right up to your forehead. And do all of that not judging yourself. I think these are techniques that you could probably do in most office environments, even at your cubicle or corner office before a coaching session during the day. And I think these techniques are also useful far beyond language learning. If you're writing emails or you're making better decisions in meetings, I think it could even regulate your emotions during conflict. I think all of these things can be improved with this mindset shift.
Yeah, this is the work that I do with leaders, with executives, with teams. This is right in my wheelhouse. And this is the first time I'm talking about it in terms of language learning. To me, it is a universal tool. And again, mindfulness is not about splitting your attention. It's about having a single focus that encompasses more and more. So if someone is listening or watching this, you have peripheral vision, you know, assuming, you know, healthy eyesight, but you're not aware of it. But now the minute I said it, oh, I can see something, I can see a light, I can see a doorknob. What we're talking about with mindfulness is not changing your focus, but expanding it. We've all had the experience of communicating with someone who wasn't really attending to us. They weren't connecting. There's also the experience of talking to people who were so merged with us. They might be frazzled, but just like trying to do what we need them to do. Their attention is not inside themselves. It is totally on the outside. What we are looking for in leaders and in colleagues is people who can hold both simultaneously. So I'm talking to you. I'm actually talking to pixels on a screen, right? If I'm connected to you, I will pick up on that. And the goal is to be able to be aware of the other person's communication, verbal and non-verbal, and to be aware of our own so that we can have connection.
Love it. Yeah. I should also mention just for my clients and for people who are still stumbling on words, if you get stuck on a word in a meeting, instead of saying to yourself, oh, I'll never learn this, I'll never get this right, maybe reframe it and say something like, this is new and I'm learning. I think sometimes this small mental reframe can really help you to calm your mind and show up fully and build resilience.
An actual question that I have about language learning for you related to that. Some of the videos I've seen from the polyglot YouTube community talk about the power of forgetting as part of the journey of learning, where they say it's better to do spaced repetition and forget a word and then bring it back to struggle with it or to almost forget it. And like, oh, there it is. So I'm wondering, is forgetting that word, is that actually part of the learning?
I think it really depends on the learning style of the person I'm working with. I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all approach. But if you're thinking of forgetting in terms of...
I'm thinking of like, you know, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I don't have access to it. What I've been reading is, and I've experienced this a little bit for myself in my Spanish vocabulary building, that I hold on to it harder next time.
Right. Again, in my experience, it really depends on the individual. I've seen so many different learning strategies and styles. I have some people who never write anything down. They have almost a photographic ability to remember the text. I have other people that need to do it manually with a pen or pencil because they feel like it's connected to their bodies. So therefore, it's easier to remember and recall. For myself, I need to write complete sentences. Like I'm working on my French right now, especially for my wife, so we can communicate better in French. I need to create a sentence. I can't just simply write down the word and the definition. I need to actually bring something up from within me. It needs to be an original sentence. And then I can kind of hang my hat on that, right? It's part of me. I think it just does come down to learning styles. And obviously, in some parts of the world where the education systems are much more rigid or strict, they have that recall or that memory built in better than we probably had in North America when we were learning. And things can be more competitive as well and just more serious in other cultures. So we did mention a few phrases here in the podcast. So we talked earlier about stepping into your power. To step into. So there's a good phrasal verb, right? We've got our verb step and into preposition. Step into your power. To act with confidence. The other expression was to ride the wave of nerves, just like you're surfing. Try to be above the nerves, realize that they're not necessarily going to go away, but you can still use them to your advantage. Another one is to show up fully, to be present. Speak up. Again, verb, preposition, speak up in meetings. These are great phrasal verbs to add to your lexicon. To wrap up, mindfulness and breathwork aren't just wellness trends. They are not things that are just going to come and go like fashion. They're practical, research-backed tools that can help you speak English or any language with more clarity, calm, and confidence.
If you've ever struggled with performance, check out mindfulness because it can help you pause, reset, and respond, not with perfection, but with presence. And presence is what we look for in other people. And presence is all about showing up fully. And we've also created a free mindful speaking routine template so that you can apply today's tips right away. Check out the download link in the show notes and episode description.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share the Fluent Edge podcast with friends or colleagues who are working on their English or leadership communication. And Howie works with professionals who want to avoid burnout, lead with purpose, and shift their mindset for sustainable success.
And if your focus is English clarity, global presence, or confident communication at work, book a free discovery call with Sean. We've included links to both of our free discovery calls in the show notes and or episode description, depending on where you are viewing or listening. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Keep communicating boldly, thinking clearly, and leading with your voice.
And as always, breathe, focus, and speak with confidence.